In viewing my panoramic adapter, I can see that the frequency is not in use. But I will inquire anyway. Is the frequency in use? This is N2IRJ on 3.999 megacycles.
I don't know. Is it in use or not? This is WB4AIO.
As Vic might say, your sound is swimmingly excellent. Maybe a little redundant there. Yeah, you sound great, Kev.
Okay, you're almost 20 over 9. Not bad for a full daylight signal.
And for once, I have my bass properly set to the 12 o'clock position.
Yeah, well, you wanted an audio report, and I think it's sounding fine. I don't hear any flaws in it at this point.
Okay, what I'm going to do is expand my bandwidth, and I recognize that you might not be able to fully appreciate it because of nearby conditions. However, I'll do the test briefly. The reason I'm doing it is because when I do so, the EQ, the software EQ will be out of line. I'll have a different profile. The compandering setting will be less, and you can tell me anything that you might want to. I'll give you like a 1 minute transmission there. Okay.
Okay. Well, first tell me what the bandwidth will be.
I'll make it 6 kilohertz.
Okay, I just switched the receive bandwidth to that figure.
So did I. This is N2IRJ in Jackson, New Jersey, United States. And the companioning setting is now lower. It's down to 4 instead of 6. And of course, the internal EQ will no longer be utilized, so there will be less trouble. Anyway, the thing that I wanted to tell you is that I stayed up probably 4 hours after the LibertyNet to explore this annoying problem with the fluttering left channel in Audacity. And without going into all the details and conditions I did, here's the bottom line. If I turn off the AFX, the problem vanishes. And I'll state this. Originally, I told you it was just a little 3 dB annoyance. That has since grown. I've watched it progress. It's now up to 12 dBs. My noise floor on Audacity limits, to negative 60 dB. And it now rises a little bit above negative 50 dB on the left channel when the AFX is on. And that is when the mic is muted. So I'll return. Well, I'll let you respond, and then I will revert back to the narrower bandwidth. N2IRJ, back to you.
Okay, well, if it's that far down, I would advise you don't do anything about it. Don't change anything. Just live with it until I get there, and I'll try to figure out the source. My guess is it's probably just the effects unit. Probably has a slight inherent noise, and probably, depending on the temperature of the room or who knows what, the quality of the AC line feeding it or something, there's a little bit of noise coming from that effects device. But to test that hypothesis, I don't want you to mess around with things. Just wait for me to get there, and I'll test that hypothesis. That's probably what it is. Cutting out the AFX is probably just reducing the level. It has nothing to do with, probably the AFX has nothing to do with the noise. Over.
Yes. If you want, I'll switch back to narrower band, or I'll stay like this. Over.
Oh, you sound much better in this bandwidth, and the other signals are fading out rapidly into nothingness, so I don't think we're bothering them either.
We'll stay here then. I concur with what you stated, and I think that if necessary, we could invoke usage of the Orban metering, CBS, loudness meter maybe. Perhaps they go lower than negative 60 dBm, and we could verify your suspicion. namely that the problem still is existing. It's just at a lower level that I can't see, based upon the limitations and audacity. I recognize that I don't need to be this perfect for amateur radio use, but it philosophically offends me. I don't like it, and I also don't like that it's grown. I have been keeping an eye on this progression for some time. Not to distract you from responding to what I just said, but I wanted to also tell you that I have a secondary problem involving the Behringer. About 6 times per LibertyNet, I lose all audio in my headphones. What I have to do is manhandle the control. Let me go over and see what it's called. It's entitled Phones. It's the closest control to me. It's right below the LED display. And basically what I have to do is work it back and forth and also lean on it sideways to try to get the audio to come back. I'm really happy with this board and I'm used to it. We took a long time to get all the levels set right. And I don't like the idea of having to replace it with something else. I'm thinking that maybe when you come here, we could pull off the knob and maybe squirt in under force along the shaft and in the body of the potentiometer 556 from CRC. Maybe that would clean the pot enough to get rid of that problem. Hopefully the wiper is truly touching physically well enough. It's just a matter of oxidation getting in there and making it go open from time to time. Over.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like that pod has got a problem. And this is WB4AIO. Probably, taking the knob off and try to squeeze a few drops of that stuff past the shaft coupling, and hope that some of it gets inside the pod would be the first line of attack. But it might be that we have to take the board apart and get physical access to the rear side of that potentiometer, and who knows how hard that'll be, but it may be we'll have to actually do that to clear the problem. And if that doesn't clear the problem, then replacing the pot would have to be done, which is, it's certainly doable, but it's a fairly big project. WB4AIO.
Yeah, that prospect pains me, but, well, maybe this is what I could do. Before you get here, try squirting from above and then report back my findings. Yeah, tell me about my audio quality compared to the 4,000 hertz bandwidth. I know that, yes, there's going to be more fidelity. However, the equalization has been changed. The compandering setting has been changed. What I might do is sneak up the compandering and you could report back. Maybe even in this enhanced single sideband mode, it would be to my advantage to run a little more compandering. This is N2IRJ. Back to you.
Well, I think it sounds much better than the 4 kilohertz mode. I would say the overall balance to the ear between quote-unquote highs and lows sounds about the same. But instead of a boosted 4 kilohertz response, you're getting a non-boosted 6 kilohertz response, which to the ear sounds just as bright, but a lot more pleasant and more articulated in the sibilance and the other high-frequency sounds. So that's my opinion on that. Over.
Roger. As an experiment for educational purposes only, I have now advanced the CPDR to 6. That's where it is when it's in the 4 kilohertz bandwidth. The default was 4. So this is a test to compare. In fact, I could do an A-B test. This is 6. It has been 6. I'll knock it back to 4. Okay, I'm now speaking with a 4 factor in the compandering mode. And during these daylight hours, I don't know if you could even tell any difference. But I will unkey and listen to your report.
Well, if there's any difference in the two, it's extremely subtle. The only thing that I would notice maybe is, and I'm not even sure if I'm hearing this, it sounds a little cleaner when it's set at 4, but the level of the any background noise you have is so low I can't tell that the background noise is higher on 6, and I can't tell that there's any increase in loudness at all at 6. It just sounds basically the same, but maybe, just perhaps my ears are detecting a slightly better cleanliness when it's set to 4, but I could be deceiving myself. WB4AIO.
I understand. Late hours are here. The current time is 7:27 a.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time on Monday, June 2nd, 2014. And I'm still transmitting with a compandering setting of 4. I thought that probably I should keep it conservative for ESSB, where audio fidelity is sought, and I could ever so slightly compromise that when I'm on narrow band, say 4,000 hertz during the Liberty Net, and I could run 6 there.
Yeah, perhaps so. Of course, the more you run, that will bring up the background noise a little bit more, and I know you're picky about that. Over.
I am, but the good news is, thanks to the remoting of the amplifier, even when set at 6, not saying that it's all that high, I can key and guarantee a better noise floor than negative 50 dB with open mic. I think that's pretty darn good. Hell, in the analog days, a recording studio had negative 60, so to be truthful, I've actually seen negative 54, but I'll just state with a factor of safety that it's an honest negative 50, negative 51. Over.
What, are you reading that on Audacity?
Yes, on Audacity.
Yeah, the compander does not affect the Audacity recording. That only affects what goes over the air, and you will not notice any change in the Audacity recording.
Well, that's an important clarification. I wonder how I might measure such changes.
The only way to do it would be with a scope on the output of your transmitted signal, or a spectrum analyzer, or the other guys received, S-meter readings, but probably noise would preclude you from reading something that low in that case. And the other way to do it is to look at the compander meter on the Power SDR software, but that only goes down to minus 30, so it can't tell you anything. If your signal to noise, or if your background noise is below minus 30, it'll just read at the far left stop of that meter, and it won't tell you anything.
Yes. I'm looking at the CPDR meter right now. I'm happy to report that, unlike before, when the amp was in the room and the fan noise, I could only get to maybe a negative 24. It would actually bounce around between that and a negative 26. But now, when I don't speak, and yet the mic is open, it honestly, rock solid, hits the negative 30 dB point. And that makes me happy. Over?
Yeah. Okay. Well, That's a noticeable change then from running those wires through the walls and all that. Do you have any trouble with the remote head? Is it functioning as it should? Is there any negative consequence of using it? WB4AIO.
Not a single negative observation. In every way, it seems to be equal or better. And by the way, I tried calling Ameritron throughout last week. I could never get them to answer. I could try today. But if I do, and they send a new head, it will be on my front doorstep for 2 weeks, which is not a good idea, unless I have Pat come up and get it. If it's even available, I might find out that they never did put it into production like they, promised me, back then. So, what do you think?
Well, if everything's working perfectly, I would just delay it so you don't have something valuable sitting on your front porch. The the operation of the existing remote head is perfect. So just live with the old one and be happy with it. Maybe the old one can just be used. Maybe all you need to do is get me to replace the incandescent bulb with an LED light, and maybe you can be happy with the old one. You don't even need to spend any money.
Oh, that would make me very happy. The only disadvantage is this meter is average. It's not PEP, but I don't really like the crosshair style anyway of what they intended to produce. But yeah, I would be totally happy with this if we made that conversion to LED. And I wanted to use not one but two LEDs and have them adjusted physically to give ambient lighting, which is even. It would be exactly the same as what the cross needle shows on the Ameritron. They did a good job there. Instead of having a hot spot from the LED or LEDs, whatever they use, it's just nicely illuminated uniformly. And that's what I seek on this remote head. The nice uniform lighting. And I think that will require two LEDs and, of course, a dropping resistor. In fact, what we could do is put the two LEDs in series. And I predict that it will actually be too bright. So what I'd like to do is increase the resistor value and dim them down a little. And by doing so, what the heck is going on? I lost my headphones again. Let me squirt. Hold on. I'm still keyed. Guess what? Even moving the pot now doesn't bring back my headset. Back to you.
Oh, that's terrible. How can you even hear me without your headset volume working?
Okay, I worked it some more. This time it required that I put it up to maximum, jiggle it a lot, and then bring it back. I'm back. I can hear you now.
Oh, sounds like that pot is not long for this world. It needs serious work right now.
Yes, my pot is on pot.
You've been potted.
Yeah, a little too much tetrahydrocannabinol floating around these days. Maybe the prior owner imbibed in that, and that's why my Behringer mixer is not functioning properly today. It's still high.
Yeah. Well, it was used, although it looked very lightly used, but it could be that that pot was turned up and down a lot and got a lot of wear before you purchased it.
Yeah, I thought of that possibility. It doesn't really seem to be all that loose, so I'm thinking maybe the opposite. It could have been in storage and corrosion just built.
Yeah, that's possible. Well, I guess try the experiment with the 556 and see if that does the trick.
So in theory, I should be able to just pull off the knob, and then I'll be able to squirt down between the shaft and the body.
Well, I think I'm 99% sure you can just pull the knob off vertically. Whether any of the 556 liquid will actually reach the affected parts inside the pot, that I could not predict. I have no idea. It may be there's no pathway and it will do no good at all. But I don't think it can hurt anything to try.
Roger. Boy, am I happy that we're able to communicate like this in greater fidelity, especially during daylight hours. But just think how great of an audio cue this would have been if we would have started about 4 hours sooner.
Well, that's true, but the band would have been a lot more crowded also. But yeah, it's working well. I suspect, though, since summertime is almost here, that in the next half hour, I bet we're going to see a significant reduction in signal-to-noise ratio as the D-layer absorption ramps up. But we're doing pretty well right now.
We are, but since the inception of this QSO, your S meter reading has decreased by 2 S units.
Yeah, it's about the same here. You still sound great, but it is about the same here. You're about 10 dB down from where you were before.
How about that? I'm accusing you of 12, and you're accusing me of 10. And the only reason I select that word is because of all the legal, all the litigation that is going on in the background.
Wow, you lost another 10 dB just on that transmission alone. I hope it's a temporary fade, but I don't know.
Well, one thing, your bass is coming through. And I'm making an Audacity recording, so when I have the time, I'll let you hear what it sounds like. I deliberately made a few pee-pops and laughter and then puffing into the mic, and I don't know if any of that came over. As you know, my pee-pop filter is closer to my mouth, and that has improved the situation. However, I can still detect some pee-popping on the Audacity local recording, and it triggers my subwoofer. I was starting to tell Laura that it was really my next door neighbor with his boom box or something, but I later said to her, you know what, I think that it's really my own Audacity recording. I was trying to listen to the Liberty Net in the bedroom, and you know, that's when I heard the booming of the subwoofer. Over.
Well, I think the amount of a low end you have in your signal right now is very good sounding, and it's not excessive, but it's very it's nice and natural and pleasant to hear. And even though maybe I heard a faint pee-popping once or twice, it's not objectionable at all. I wouldn't even worry about it.
Yes, I could increase the distance again by, say, a quarter inch from the microphone.
No, I don't even think you have to worry about it. Just keep on doing what you're doing, and it's just right.
Fine business.
I made a recording of this also, and you'll notice that at this point on the recording, your signal is down, but it's still very pleasant to listen to and 100% copy. There's a very faint plasma TV buzzy that is on this frequency, too, that's now audible underneath your signal.
Yeah, even with some background QSO going on in the distance, my noise floor is showing S4. You're making it to S7. Fortunately, no plasma TV buzzies here. However, you'll be, I'm sure, enthralled to know that we're not done with our mission. It's a holy one at that. Namely, we have one last plasma TV to track down. It's the one that's on 3922 kilohertz, and it has images at 60,000 hertz intervals. And in that case, I hope that I don't meet up with some sociopath. I really hope that I'm able to amicably resolve it. Over.
Well, that would be nice for a change, wouldn't it? WB4 Aeschylus Icarus Oedipus, WB4 AIO.
Yeah, some rapid QS being there. You'll hear it on the recording, but still I'm having an enjoyable QSO with you. I'm now relaxed in my captain's chair. It's leaning up against the table. My feet are propped up on the easy chairs, footrest, which is all the way up. Very comfortable, having a ball. This is what amateur radio should be, and it is here, thank heavens. N2 IRJ.
My favorite radio station is WB4 AIO.
Well, you do realize that two can play that game.
N2 IRJ.
Well, I thought anyway. Let me try again.
N2 IRJ.
Well, it is going, well, I know what the problem is, I think. More volume. Here goes.
N2 IRJ.
That should have been a little better. I'll do it again.
into IRJ.
The first two times, it wasn't even moving Henrietta's meter. At least this time it showed 50 watts of output, which is still a little bit low. I had to adjust in the bottom right corner the volume. And I'll say this, that there's still an issue with that control interface. And the Flex 5080's displayed panel, if I mess with the volume control when it's locked up, it still grays out portions of my SDR's face and makes multiple images. So there's something going on between those two programs. Over.
Next time that happens, just hit Windows D to clear the desktop and then hit Windows D again to bring back all the windows. And tell me if just doing that by itself is enough to clear that problem.
So far, it does. But I'll start doing it more often and I'll report back to you. Oh, by the way, there was another control or shift or Windows something that I wanted to ask you about. It had to do with spell check to find out how many times you used the same word in the composition of an email. Oh, what was the key combination for that? It made in the upper left corner of Thunderbird, show a window where you could type in the exact word and then you could keep hitting search, search, search or something like that and find out every instance of that word in the email. Over.
Well, when you're in the email itself, when that window is open and you're looking at the email itself, just hit Control F, and then a window will pop up that will allow you to search for that particular word in the body of the email. And of course, you just keep hitting next, 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 and it will take you to each instance of the word. This is WB4AIO.
You answered my question. I don't know if I should change my receive bandwidth to maybe 5. I'm having some activity now right at the edge coming in as high-frequency QRM from a QSO nearby. Well, really not all that near. Well, yeah, in terms of the bandwidth, they're starting to encroach upon our territorial integrity. That reminds me of something that I observed during one of the recent Liberty Nets. I thought that if I received in 4,000 hertz, when you were on specifically, that there would be a sharp, steep, digital, cliff to protect me against something at, say, 4,100 hertz. But that's not true. Somebody came on with a relatively strong carrier around 4,100, and guess what? It came right through as a high-frequency note, which I heard in so-called real-time, plus it showed up on Audacity. As an experiment, I invoked the notch filter over it, and guess what? It worked. Even though it was theoretically outside of the visible passband, it was leaking through, but the notch filter dead-stopped it. So I'm thinking, gee, maybe as a proactive measure, I should just always put a notch filter at the edge like that to prevent problems from before they even occur. Over.
Well, you could just go to a lower sampling frequency, too. I think there are a couple other settings. I think you tried to set everything a long time ago for lowest latency, but that also means the filters are less sharp. If you set things for a little bit more latency, the filters get sharper. So that's probably what's going on there.
Yeah, I thought that, too. Just so you know, I never insisted upon the absolute. It seems that if I take it to the absolute, I think 256 or whatever the other number, it starts being a little bit cantankerous. So I've settled long ago for essentially middle zone settings, ever so slightly one step towards having more sampling rate, higher, well, I you know what I'm talking about. So that's where it has been set, and I'm satisfied. It hasn't been causing me problems. And I don't consider this to be a problem. It's just, it's because it's something that can be fixed in another way.
Yeah. Well, normally you won't have to set up notch filters. That's silly. It'd be, but you can if you need to. I would say that my the way mine is set, which is extremely brick wall, if a signal's more than 50 hertz out of the passband, it just disappears into the noise, at least my noise floor. Your noise floor is lower, so maybe it's easier to notice signals that are a little weaker. And also, you have your setting for the highest possible sampling frequency, and I think you have it set for lower latency, which means that your filter slopes aren't going to be quite as sharp as mine. Therefore, 100 hertz out of the passband, it might only be 20 or 30 dB down. I'm not sure. You could measure it, of course. WB4AIO.
Okay, I'll tell you what it's set to. Buffer size 256 and sampling rate 192,000. I think maybe the buffer size could be decreased to 128. I imagine that is really K, but I don't know. The sampling rate, like I said, is 192,000. So back to you for comment.
Well, I'd have to go back and read the literature on exactly what affects what, so we'll have to do that another time. But just generally speaking, I've seen it when I'm there. I can see that your slopes are not quite as sharp as mine. You have it set for somewhat gentler slopes, so expect somewhat gentler slopes when you have it set for gentler slopes. Over.
Yeah, I just verified that the buffer size can be decreased to 128. When I'm transmitting, I can't observe that. It grays out the box. But when I receive, I can tell you what the range is. Over.
Yeah. I wouldn't mess with it until I get there, maybe, and I can help you out with that. And meanwhile, I'll read up on what affects what. But right now, I couldn't even tell you which way to go to get sharper filter slopes. But maybe you don't really need sharper filter slopes until this one event happened. You had no need for them.
Yes, let me state this. The sampling rate states, well, it goes away. It's a very short order thing. I'll have to bring it up a couple times. It says, higher sampling rates yield a wide pan adapter and less latency at a cost of CPU percent and filter sharpness. Now, I'll hover over 256, but it's not going to show because on transmit it's grayed out. When you respond, I'll be able to maybe memorize what it says about buffer size and report that back to you.
Okay, N2IRJ, this is WB4AIO, high in the Allegheny Mountains of western Pennsylvania, so very good. Yeah, you can hover over that thing and tell me what it says in general. You don't have to give the exact words. Probably I need to get off the radio pretty soon. I need to get ready to take Clara to school. It's one of her exam days, and she couldn't take the bus because her exams don't start until about 9 o'clock. So if she'd taken the bus, she just would have sat with nothing to do. So today I'm going to be taking her in for finals. So was that a long enough transmission, old man?
Yes, I still will need it to do it in two parts possibly. It states samples per audio buffer. Let me unkey. Smaller settings give less latency. And there's more. I need to unkey.
N2IRJ.
By the way, I heard your voice ID on the recording. Even when you had it set too low, it was still perfectly understandable and audible. I heard it each time you played it.
Oh, thanks for making that clarification. I was wondering, but I forgot to ask. I will now unkey, read the rest about buffer size, and then clear with you so you can get Clara out. And I can fax my letters to the FCC before 8 o'clock when the rates go up on phone. Here goes. I'm going to unkey and read it. Okay, smaller buffer sizes provide less latency at the cost of a higher CPU load. And I'm at 256. If I wanted to, I could go down to 128.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. Okay, very good. I learned something. I'll study up more on this in the Flex Wiki and in the Flex Manual and see what changes affect what. But for now, I would just leave everything as it is. Don't mess with near perfection. Okay, I guess I'll go and start getting myself ready to take her to school. And good talking to you, and nice signal for a full daylight condition. The brilliant golden white sunlight is streaming down on the woods patch behind my office window here. It really looks pretty. And yesterday, Murr and I sat in the backyard, and we read chapters from the book Bambi to each other, and while we were doing that, we saw various animals walk across our field of view, including a chipmunk, a rabbit, and many different kinds of birds. It was a really nice day, too, really great for sitting in the backyard and enjoying life. N2IRJ in central New Jersey, near the Salt Flats, where RCA conducted its first antenna experiments in HF radio back in the 1930s. This is WB4AIO in the Allegheny Mountains of western Pennsylvania, looking down, down, down upon the rest of the East Coast, saying 73, and good luck in the contest. Bye.
I think Murr is calling. Whoops, I shouldn't have said that. Well, I'll say this. I hope she gets to one day see the little baby bunny.
Into IRJ.
Clear.
Okay, Marty, talk to you later. Bye.